this evening? We feel a little tired. I do. But that's okay. So, you're probably wondering what's next to me. And this is Iron Man. I don't know if any of you have met Iron Man before. But it's half of him, minus the arms. With a few... with a few other props here as well, which we'll get into shortly. So we're looking at the armour of God, which is why I have these things here. If you would like to pull out your Bibles, if you have any, I do not have my clicker, and I'm hoping that we can get something up on the screen. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. We are... at the end of our I Do Serve series. So let us read together if you have your Bibles or your phones, whichever ones we have. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, in which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. So do we kind of get what all this is for now? Yeah. So wanting to dive straight in and get into this. So first thing I'm going to ask, and I'm wanting some feedback here, but when you hear the word armor, what do you think of? Phoebe said might, and I like that one. I'm just going to ignore Matt. Knight, not might. Sorry. Well, that's good too. Anyone else? Protection, yes. I need about three more. Defences. War. Violence. All are relevant because, you know, it's what you think of. But when Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians, and Paul has been writing the entire series, the letters in the entire series that we have been doing, he is writing to the Ephesians, and in biblical times, armour was a little bit different to what we might think of it now. It might be a little bit different to Iron Man because I don't know if Iron Man was around. I know that Iron Man was not around. I just want to clarify that one. So when he was writing this letter, Roman soldiers would put on their armour, but their armour included all their offensive weaponry. So when the verse 10 goes, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God. That included your defense weaponry and your offensive weaponry as well. So then it goes on to say that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So here, Paul is telling us that there's more against us than just flesh and blood, so more against us than just our enemies, human people. He's talking about the evil schemes of the devil and also about the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over the present darkness, evil and all of those things. So I want to actually have a look at two particular parts of this. So wrestling against the rulers and the authorities, this one, people sometimes might be hard to understand this. Don't need to shout it out, but does anyone think of anyone who might not be, might be an evil force in an authoritative position? Just have a think about that one. I'm not going to mention any names. Today. Yeah, there we go. That's, didn't have to say it out, but that's the one I wasn't going for. So they're people who are doing evil and are being manipulated by evil. So taking a step away from the Marvel, has anybody seen Wonder Woman? No. Wow. I've got the movie for you, Ian. You can watch it. Ian. That's no, just. I was talking to someone about that earlier. I'm sorry. Andy. But Wonder Woman, Diana, is trying to kill Ares because he is the evil one. And I watched this movie today. I probably shouldn't have because it's where my brain is. As soon as Ares died, all the evil in the world vanished. It would be nice if that actually happened. But it's important to understand that even though we think people are evil, the real enemy is the unseen influence of Satan in these people and the soldiers who operate unseen behind the scenes and through the people and the circumstances. Secondly, I want to actually look at the cosmic powers. So it seems to refer to the worldwide nature of his spiritual battle. Evil in the heavenly places against, again, emphasised a battle beyond this world, which is where Marvel comes in. Because who's watched Infinity War? If you were standing here, you would have seen the hand go up like within a millisecond of me saying that. So you kind of get the grasp that there's something happening in other realms in the Infinity War. But in this particular case, the cosmic powers is the worldwide nature of a spiritual battle. Evil in the heavenly places, a battle beyond this world, a battle that God is fighting, but also one that we need to be aware of because it does affect us. So moving on, we're also going to look at the verse, therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Now I didn't bring my belt, sorry guys. Paul is telling the Ephesians to put on the whole armour of God and to be ready for battle, not just a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. He orders them that once they have put on the armour, to stand firm. And then starts telling them that the armour that they should be wearing, beginning with the belt of truth. Now the belt around a soldier's waist, going back to Roman times, the Roman soldiers, that belt held the breastplate in place. It also provided an attachment for a sword. Please no one touch that. I don't know. Don't know if that's allowed in the church. That's right. So the belt of truth. The truth in that belt is the understanding of the truth of God and understanding the evil deceptions. Paul started here because it's the hardest thing to do, to understand God's truth through the lies. We are made in the image of God. But we might say to ourselves that we're not worthy to be loved by God. We need to stand firm in the truth of the Lord and know that we are his children and not question ourselves. In him we are accepted, we are loved, and we are his. He then tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects the chest area and is used primarily in protecting the body's most important organs. I'm sure you all knew that. In biblical times, I actually found this very interesting. In biblical times, I don't know if anyone else will, I'm sorry. The armor that the soldiers wore, the breastplate, was made out of leather. And then underneath the leather was a metal, or a bronze was more common. So it would be bronze and then they'd have the leather that goes over the top. Which I kind of thought when I was reading that, I was like, that's, I would put it the other way around. Like, where's the comfort in that? But no, the leather's, well, I'm not wearing it, so I don't have to complain. But the leather is over the top. And I just tried to imagine that. It's a bit weird. But the breastplate of righteousness, putting on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, recognizing that we are not worthy of God's love, but we accept his love. So it follows on from the belt of truth. Understanding that we need the breastplate to survive and that we need God and we need his salvation. And understanding all that can help in understanding all that can help the beginning sin, the first sin that happened in the Garden of Eden, become undone, that we are then a part of that salvation. So moving on, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, I was really keen to wear boots or high heels because I feel like sometimes they can be a weapon, but I'm not going to. Has anyone... Matt, please don't put up your hand. Has anyone ever had their feet stood on in high heels, with high heels? I feel like only two people were game enough to put their hand up just then. When someone else stood on your feet with high heels, James. So I have plenty of shoes, which some of us know. Maybe too many that I shouldn't count, but a lot of them are high heels and they can cause a lot of damage, but not only to others, but to our own feet. Interestingly, going back to Roman times, soldiers did not have landmines to put on the ground. So the shoes were used, the soldiers put the shoes on, sorry, I'll spit it out sooner or later, because there were sharpened spikes just beneath the surface of the ground. These were camouflaged with leaves or soft dirt. An advancing soldier needed to have sturdy boots to stop the spikes from penetrating, or he would suffer a debilitating injury. He could be outfitted in the most invincible armour, from his head down to his ankles, but it wouldn't do him a bit of good if he couldn't walk. When your feet hurt badly, whether or not you've been, someone stepped on your feet, or you've been wearing heels for too long. That's me. Like, you struggle to be able to stand up. You struggle to be able to walk and you just want to rest your feet. So for a soldier who has just stood on something, that would be quite painful. Plus you have a wound that you need to clean and all the hygiene around that, designed for battle. Moving on, we have, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. I have a shield. It was made today. Can anyone tell me whose shield that's meant to replicate? Do you want to try again, Jesse? Captain America! There's no... I wanted to do Wonder Woman, but it was too hard. As we see from this, or Wonder Woman, it's a defense in battle. However, the Roman soldiers didn't have a sword or didn't have any other defense that they could use in battle. It was mainly hand combat. So in the same way, believers need to trust that God provides protection against the devil and his evil schemes. And then we have the helmet of salvation. I would take this off, but I'm afraid I'm going to break it. We have a helmet. The helmet represents the assurance of God's salvation that protects the believer just as a helmet protects a soldier in battle. It is also a protection from false teaching or lies that we might be faced with. And it's interesting because we read earlier in the I Will series, before the I Do series, that the Ephesians were accused of false teaching. The Ephesians were, I can't think of the word. praised for finding the false teaching and kicking them out. So they've been dealing with false teachers that have come up in their circles, in their churches. So the helmet of salvation here is just reaffirming to them that they need protection of the false teaching and lies that they might be faced with. And then we have a look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the sword is to help believers proclaim the gospel message, to act on God's behalf, combat the attacks that come from the devil. The sword of the Spirit can also be referred to as the Holy Spirit, which will come to defend us. Praying at all times in the Spirit with the prayer of supplication. Paul here is telling us to pray that we should not be an afterthought for believers. However, it should be our source of strength. It also refers to praying in the Spirit, which can also refer to previously the sword of the Spirit being the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to take a second here and not glance over this. Praying is a huge part of our lives, I hope. We need to put on the armour of God and we need to pray. We need to pray at all times, whether we're thankful, we're hurt, we're sad, anxious, unhappy, well, unwell, happy, excited, nervous, all of the time. So that God protects us, so that God will be with us, and so that we know that God will walk beside us. Praying is one of the best ways to communicate, and I'm not going to lie, I'm not good at it. I wouldn't be able to stand up here in front of all of you and pray. It's something that I've never been good at, but I have another way that I pray, and that might sound really weird, so I'm going to explain that. So I've been dancing. I danced for a lot of my life, and before going on stage and competing, I would pray and just say, thank you, God, for this opportunity. And I would get on stage. If you stand behind me while I worship, I'm sorry, I move a lot. I enjoy music. And it's an outlet for me to express whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad. And that's my time with God, to reflect with God and feel my emotions. In the same way, if I start singing, I feel the emotions of singing and I enjoy it so much. I know I'm not a good singer, and Matt sometimes turns up the music in the car so it drowns me out. But in a loving way, I hope. So Paul is calling us to pray at all times, not just here in the church, before or after a sermon, but at all times. And then he goes on to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. When praying, we need to be thoughtful of what we are praying for and God's people who are working for him and with him. Paul requests that the Ephesians pray with him, and in particular pray for his mouth to boldly, or to have courage when proclaiming the mystery of the gospel. And that mystery could be referring to the good news in general, or it could be referring, as we've touched on in other sermons in this series, the inclusion of Gentiles into the people of God. Paul then adds that he is an ambassador in chains, reminding the people that he is in prison and yet still proclaiming the gospel. And then finally, the end to this letter from Paul is so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. It's an interesting end when you look at it, because it feels like sometimes it could just be cut and paste. But Paul was recognized and treated like Jesus was, and even persecuted in the same way. And what I mean by that is he was respected by the people. Not all, some. He was in jail. He was in prison, so he sent someone he trusted to the people someone that would guide them, encourage their hearts, and someone that they could trust. Because he was sent by Paul meant that he was someone that they could trust. And it was important for the Ephesians because the Ephesians have dealt with false teaching before, as I mentioned earlier. Paul then signs off with affirming words to God and finishes the last two words, love incorruptible, reminding us to put on the armour of God daily to ensure that our love is incorruptible. Now, before I go on and do a final prayer on this one, I was sitting down before when I was listening about Elise and Tim. Have I got the names right? Thank you. In Nullumboy. I'm not good with names, I'm sorry. They're doing so well. They're experiencing so much. They have hardships. And we need to be praying for them. We need to be giving our time and our, if we have finances, to do that as well. And I just really encourage you this week as we walk away to pray, not only for Tim and Elise, but any other missionaries that we know, any other mission fields within our church that we know of, and just encourage them through our prayer. And I feel like if we can open our books to Ephesians 6:10 and actually read over these verses when keeping people like Tim and Elise in mind, it might be quite helpful. Not being well might be spiritually attacked in some times. Just pray that they are able to put on the armour of God. So let us pray as we close this. Heavenly Father, you promised never to leave us or forsake us. And through the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit, I know that you are with us. There have been many times when we should have put on the armour of God to battle for us, but instead we have battled by ourselves. We humbly thank you for picking us up off the pavement when we fail and showing us again and again who is the power source of our lives. You sent the Holy Spirit to live in me and everyone here and to guide me and everyone here into all truth. I pray that as we leave tonight, that you'll continue to guard our hearts, our minds, from the evil within the world. I pray that they can lead towards you in our battles, and I pray that you will protect us from all evil. Lord, we need you every day, and we need you to walk with us. I pray that you will continue to open our hearts, to allow you to walk with us, whether it be at school, at uni, at work, or in social offence. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.